2 Corinthians this morning, chapter 4, and I want to preach a message this morning entitled Faint Not. Entitled Faint Not. Now, when you think of the word fainting, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, the Bible says, it says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this another day. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord. Thank you for the Spirit that has been in the church house this morning. Thank you for showing up and speaking to our hearts already. And Lord, thank you for that you're alive and well. Lord, I pray this morning that you'll use this, the Word of God, to be an encouragement to one another. God, help us to be what we need for one another, but also, Lord, help us to have a desire to live for you and be steadfast in the ministry of the Lord. And we'll give you the praise and glory for it all. And we thank you for your goodness. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll fill me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. But we see here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the very first verse, Paul says, you know, seeing then you have this ministry. Paul is, in the previous verses leading up to this, is really explaining the difference as far as being a Christian and talking about, you know, there's a testimony that we should have and there's a way Christians ought to live and operate. But knowing that we have Christ as our Savior, therefore we are in a ministry. Everyone in here that knows Jesus Christ as a personal Savior has a ministry to be involved in. Your ministry may be just the way you operate daily. You know, my ministry is First Baptist Church. It's part of my ministry, but I got many ministries that is intertwined with being a Christian. I got the ministry of being a father. I have the ministry of being a husband. I have the ministry of being, if I'm in the workforce, working a certain way. I have a ministry there. Everything reflects Christ. I mean, everything is to reflect in all these different things. And we have many ministries. Also, everyone has the call upon their life to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and reach souls for Jesus Christ. We have a commission that's being given to us. So we're all involved in some way or another. The church is a ministry. It's described several times in the Word of God. One time it's described as a body, knowing that everything works together. It isn't just one person. It is this ministry. It's all the members of this church that are the ministry of this church. It takes everybody stepping up and taking what God would have for them and allowing God to use them in whatever place that He's put them. We all have different talents, we have different skills, we have different gifts. But God help us to see the importance of each gift that He's given us, and let's use them for the glory of God. So, therefore, ye have this ministry. The church is also described as a building. We know that each thing in a building process has a purpose. You don't start with the roof. You start from the ground up and you build things up and everything has to be there. We had some strong wind this week. If the foundation ain't right, if the walls aren't tied in, if the rafters aren't tied into the walls, something's going to happen when the storms come and the winds blow. So the church is a picture of something that is fitly joined together. So aren't you thankful that we have an anchor? Aren't you thankful that we have a God that is not only the God of the mountain, but He is the God in the valley? Our foundation is to be firm so that we can continue the way God would have us to. And He says here in this, "Therefore, because you have this ministry," seeing you have this ministry, "as we have received mercy, we faint not." It is so important that we faint not. Because you know what? Nobody really likes anything. It's faint. I have a faint heartbeat right here. Faint heartbeat. Well, you know what? We'd say Rich has some problems. We want to hear a strong heartbeat, right? Fainting. When you're trying to accomplish something. You guys know that I've been helping coaching the high school soccer team and what I'm trying to do. I'm in charge of physical fitness, trying to get them into shape where they start out complaining, "We don't want to run. Well, why do we got to run? We just want to play. We want to scrimmage. We don't like all this preparation." You know why you got to run? Because when you're in the game, you won't faint. Because you know what happens, you know, if I start running without putting forth some exercise leading up to it, you know, I don't get very far and I become very faint, very weak. I could keep continuing to the place that I could not continue nowhere because I am not prepared for what I need to accomplish. So we don't want people to faint in sports. We don't want people to faint in that. And God says, you know what? hey, you have this ministry, don't faint. And I think if you think about our own lives, you think about your own life here. You think about where you are today. Hopefully you're not you're the strongest place you've ever been, but you might not be. Are you fainting? Is one time that did you have a drive about the things of God? You really wanted what God wanted? You were excited about things that were going on within the church and within the things that God had, but it's sort of become sort of faint. Well, I want to tell you, when we are faint, it's sin, because God tells us, faint not. And a lot of things can cause us to do that, because it can cause us to become faint and become weak. But we got to guard against those things. Aren't you thankful that the Word of God tells us things, and again, it gives us instructions? So let's look at some things about fainting today. As we look in this verse of this chapter, it says in verse 2, it says, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully." You know, one of the first signs of someone really, someone beginning to faint, to begin to take the Word of God and they'll twist it around. They'll begin to think and make it fit their way of life and the way they think it ought to be, instead of just taking God at His Word. "But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Huh. We see here the very importance of a testimony. You know what? When you become a Christian, when you follow the Lord in believers' baptism, you identify with Christ. You know what? People began to watch your life. You know, when you come into this auditorium this morning and you come in and say, "You know what, I'm a member of First Baptist Church. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm part of this local assembly." There's people that walk in. There's people that visit. And they see you and they're watching your life. When you go out and you witness to someone on the street and you want to tell them about Jesus Christ, you tell them that you're a Christian. You tell them, "I'm part of First Baptist Church of Newcastle, Virginia." And you went out there and you've identified yourself with the church. You've identified yourself with Jesus Christ. People are watching you. You have a testimony. And that verse is talking about delivering the truth, but also in such a way that a person's conscience could be clear about you. You ever had somebody come up to you, maybe you wasn't living for the Lord, or maybe it was when you were lost, and they say, "What you need is Jesus Christ," but they were living as wicked and vile as you were living. You didn't think much of it, did you? Their conscience. And then verse number 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Now, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those who are lost. One of the first things that happens when we begin to faint, we begin to be quiet. A person can go from being excited about God and what He's done in their life or what her life, and you could be on fire, you're ready to do things, but the next thing you know, begin to faint and they begin to be quiet, and then we begin to hide the gospel. But here's the problem: no man lives unto himself. If you've hid the gospel, you're hiding the gospel for the lost that need the gospel. That's what they need to change their life, because they have a death sentence. So if we choose to hide the gospel in our life, we've hid it from those who are lost. "In whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not to ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Verse number 7. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I don't know about you, but that's a great way to live life. I wonder if that's the life we find in Jesus Christ. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Wow! For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. I don't know about you, but I thank God for being delivered. I thank God for being delivered by the chains of this world. Just like the song that Rich talked about, our chains was gone. So true. We are delivered from those things. And when we allow those things to take hold in our lives, the things, maybe it's the critical attitudes, or maybe it's some type of vice or some type of addiction. We're delivered from all of that. God, help us to understand the importance of our testimony. I look back there and I look at those words. I'm delivered. What am I delivered from? Well, some things I'm delivered from. I'm delivered from being destroyed. I'm delivered from being in distress, in despair. Hey, I'm delivered from these things. I'm thankful for the power. It goes all back to the power of God in our lives. Verse 13, we having the same spirit of faith, according to as is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. Wow! Us giving thanksgiving back to God. Remember what I've always said, thankful people are happy people. Thankful people have joy. Thankful for what God has, it rebounds to the glory of God. Folks, why are we left here if you're a Christian today? To bring God glory, right? Christians ought to be so thankful for what God has done. Man, and then when we return that thanks, we ought to jump at the chance to even lift our voices up and say, thank you, God, for what you've done. Hey, Lord, you know what? I love those type of people that you run into, Lord. Man, I'm thankful. I got able to open my eyes this morning. I was thankful I'm able to get out of bed this morning. I'm thankful I'm able to get up and go to work this morning. I'm thankful. I love those people that are thankful. They know that everything comes from God. And you know what they're doing all the same time? They're saying, glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Glory to God. What an awesome God we serve. As we do that, we are rebounding glory to God. He's receiving glory for the way that we're living our life as being thankful. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man. So if you're going to be thankful, you be thankful. For which cause we faint not. I don't preach this for a Thanksgiving message. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The freshness of Jesus Christ. The freshness of the Christian life. Man, you know what? That's one thing I love about the Christian life. You know what? I may mess up today, but I'm going to tell you, I'm still His tomorrow. I may have a bad day today, but you know what? The sun's going to rise again in the morning. Hey, that's just, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me for that. Man, He forgives and forgets, and we can wake up, and the inner man can be renewed day by day. Man, I'm thankful for that. You may be in here today, and maybe you're struggling. You say, man, you know what? I'm just struggling spiritually. And I think we'll be honest with us. We all have times in our lives where we struggle spiritually. But I want to tell you, the inner man can be renewed every day. But you know what? There's going to be things that's going to have to be addressed and dealt with. Hey, knowing you're there, there's a reason why you're there, so you find out what it is and you take it to the Lord. You know, many times we allow things to creep into our life. See, that's one thing about fainting. It sort of sneaks up on you, doesn't it? You know, I can go out and I can go and I can run for a while, but you know, next thing I know, I'm getting a little harder to run. Next thing you know, I've done started pouring a sweat. Next thing you know, I've been like, I wish I had some oxygen. I mean, but it was a slow process. I began to faint. It sort of sneaks up on you. Sometimes we're fainting and we don't even realize we're fainting. But you know what? It's going to come a test when you're going to have to kick it in. Or you're going to have to do a task, but you've already fainted and you're not going to be able to accomplish it. Because why? You fainted. There's nothing left. So for this cause, we faint not. Now, there's a lot of things that faint in our life. Our marriages can faint. You know what? Our membership can faint from time to time. There are people once who were faithful to the house of God and aren't faithful today. You can't hardly find them in the house of God at all. Membership can faint in a church. Also, ministries can faint. Man, we get part of a ministry at the church, do things. Maybe you're a Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're a teen teacher. Maybe you're this or that. Maybe you're an RU teacher involved in that. Maybe you're doing things in the church, but if you ain't careful, your ministry can faint. It can not be what it once was. Choir members can faint. Man, they're getting excited about being in. There's been times this whole choir loft's been completely full and packed out of people where they are today. But when something happened, they begin to faint. There's many other ways that we can faint. You know what? Preachers can faint. I want to tell you, over the last 7 years, you realize last week I have been here for 7 years. I had an anniversary last week. Praise God. Amen. But you know what? Over those 7 years, there's been times that I've fainted. There've been times I was running faint. Sometimes I didn't know what I was going to do. But preachers can faint too. And we need to understand that, you know what? We're not to faint. There's things that we need to identify, and we don't have to live that way. The Bible. Let's look at some signs of fainting, and then I'm going to talk about how not to faint. First of all, signs of fainting are complaints. You know what? A person starts complaining, I guarantee you they're fainting. A person starts complaining, I guarantee they'll find something wrong with everything. Just little things get in there and it just sort of, you know, to shove a knife in and just, or maybe it's a chip on the shoulder, they start complaining. Another thing, darkness, everything is bad. You know what? Some people faint and they can take the things of God and turn it around into be something that's bad. It's like they find the negative in everything they can find it in, and it just ruins their spirit. Also, another sign is a loss of focus for the things of God and that God and what God is doing. How many of you done your homework last week and brought it in? You're supposed to write at least one experience of how you've seen God working in your life. You know what? If you're sitting there and you didn't do it, and maybe you should do it because you ought to do it because I want to read it, for one thing. But maybe you just thought about and you say, you know what, I can't even really remember where God's worked in my life. Well, I want to tell you, you're fainted. A person who's fainting and they don't see what God is doing in their life. You know, I remember dealing with someone, I can't even remember who the name was of the person one time. And man, God had really got a hold of their family and done some tremendous things. I mean, we're talking about a family that was torn apart, was ravished. Husband and wife get saved. Children got saved in that home. And man, they were doing really good, growing in church, faithful to church. But things of the world began to pound on them and pound on them and pound on them. And the next thing, I heard this comment come out of the husband's mouth. God ain't never done anything for me. I done it all. I And I want to tell you, that home now is completely apart. That home has been destroyed. Those lives, there's not nothing beautiful in them right now. It affected his wife, affected his children. But you know what? Began to faint. I mean, I'm telling you, they seemed like they was on fire. I mean, really, doing a really good job and growing leaps and bounds, but they began to faint. And they couldn't see God at work. Tell you what, we have a hard time seeing God at work, because I'm going to tell you, God is at work in our lives. He leads, guides, and directs. Man, it's not odd, folks, it's God. Another thing, a sign of fainting is losing enthusiasm. Dry up. Forget where God brought you from. Another thing that causes a fainting is this, the wrong kind of diet. We need to listen to the right kind of preaching, folks. Some of you may not be very cautious on who you listen to or what you listen to. I want to tell you, you need to listen to the right kind of preaching. You need to listen to spirit-filled preaching that's preaching the truth of the Word of God. Don't just accept everybody that says they're a preacher, that they're preaching God's Word. I want to tell you, there's some twisted things out there today. We need to listen to some good preaching. We need to listen to some preaching that gets a hold of our hearts and shows us and points out our sin. We need to listen to some preaching that will challenge us, convict us, and show us where we are. We need to listen to some good preaching if we're going to keep from fainting. Also, we need to be careful what we're ingesting. We need to listen to the right kind of music. Need to listen to the right kind of music. Man, you know what? We've been trying to do some warm-up music over there for our school or kids. And I want to tell you, you can't even punch in motivational music just trying for warm-ups and stuff and get something halfway decent. The lyrics are so horrible. I mean, we got sex, you got drugs, you got everything under the world going on in those songs and pumping that into our kids. I want to tell you, folks, that if what we listen to affects our behavior and it affects how we act and live in this world. We need to be careful what type of music we're putting in our ears, what we're listening to. Man, young person, you may like the beat, but there's more to the beat than what you're considering. Man, I don't pay attention to the words. I want to tell you, them words are getting in your head. We need to be careful what we take a diet, what we chew on. We need to listen to the right kind of teaching. Man, I've known people that's gone off on listening to the wrong kind of person, teaching something that aren't truth. Things come in their head that are contrary to the Word of God and saying, hey, repentance is not needed and different things like that. And got them really messed up and they began to faint because they listened to the wrong type of teaching. Also, problems from pressure cause us to faint. Yes. I think we all relate to that. You know what? It may be your family, it may be your friends, it may be your finances, but pressures can cause us to faint. Also, you become inactive as a cause of fainting. We need exercise. Everybody's like, okay. Nobody likes that word, exercise. I sort of like it. I mean, I like exercise. I got to have something to focus on and motivate me to do it. Whether it's chasing a ball or shooting a ball or something, I got to have something like that. I can't just go out there and do it. But we need exercise. You know what? We need to exercise in the Word. You come in active in the Word, you'll begin to faint. Hey, also, we need to be active in the work. Active in the work. I'd like for you to maybe think about in your mind the ministry. The local church is one of the first words that comes to your mind or your heart. Is it work? I want to tell you, it should be. It should be. I've enjoyed talking to someone this week, and I'll let them share it a little bit more, but he's talking about how that whenever he give his time to the Lord God, just really give him more time to accomplish all kinds of other things than he ever thought of. Basically because he tithed his time He done the work that God gave him, and the Lord just blessed, and more things got accomplished, and he was amazed by it. You know what? We need to exercise his work. I appreciate little people doing different things, you know, that sort of behind the scene, but it takes time to do it. I want to tell you, Rodney, he's been taking care of our van here recently. He spent some time on it a couple of weeks ago and working on it. You know what? I appreciate that. That helps us do the ministry here at the church. I appreciate teachers that will take time to prepare in their lessons. You say, well, you know what? I'm just teaching a young kids class. It's not very hard to do. I want to tell you, you ought to start on Monday, and you ought to have some time spending that. You ought to be praying over that class, praying over that lesson, and allowing that lesson to be a blessing to you. And I appreciate your time, and I appreciate your efforts and your dedication. Hey, give unto the Lord what is His, and I guarantee you He'll help you out in the rest of the areas of life. We need exercise and work. Hey, exercise is work. So we need to keep from fainting if we exercise the things we ought to. The characteristics of fainting is this: stop functioning as a Christian. You become a burden to those around you. You become a great danger also of surroundings. You become a victim of your surroundings and your circumstances when you begin to faint. You know what? You stop speaking like a Christian. That's some signs of fainting, characteristics of fainting. You lose your hearing. You have ears, but you don't listen. Proverbs 1:10 says, "My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." And I want to give you the cure, and I'm done. You didn't hear say, "Pastor, so one of these areas, this or that," and it's got me thinking. I think I'm fainted. I think I might not have been where I need to be. I've just been away, and I have fainted. And I don't want to be there, but I want to get back. Well, here's some things is the cure. First of all, and most importantly, is lean on your Savior. Lean on your Savior. Hey, you say, it's not you, folks. It's not about you. So you know one thing I find out when people are fainting? The whole problem is always about me, 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 me. Lean on the Savior. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Yeah, hey, I've been there, folks. I've been in the ministry. I've been to the place that I was weary. But I found out something. I was trying to do it myself. I found out I wasn't taking things to the Lord in prayer, that I ought to take things in the Lord in prayer, and I wasn't allowing Him to do the work. Hey, He says for me to give Him my burden. Yeah, I have burdens. You know what? I have burdens as a father. I have burdens as a husband. I have burdens as a pastor. You know what? But I have someone that does not leave me alone that says, "Hey, cast your burdens upon me, and I will give you rest." How many of you know it's hard and it's exhausting bearing burdens? And sometimes they keep piling up, and they get so heavy we don't know what we're going to do. Well, let me tell you what we can do. We can lean on our Savior. And He asks us to. We think, okay, well, we don't want to, maybe, you know, why would He want us to care about our problems, or why we don't want to take advantage of Him. Hey, you're neglecting Him when you don't. So lean on the Savior. Also, hey, here's another one. And I think our church is learning this, and I think we're getting there. Lean on the saints. See, one of the problems with fainting, if we're not careful, we lean on the wrong person. We'll try to lean on someone who will agree. We'll go to someone complaining, expecting them to say, "Oh yeah, jump on that with me." You know, misery loves company. But you know what we need to do? We need to lean on the saints. Proverbs 11:14 says this. It says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." I want to tell you, fainting is a falling away might be quietly, it may be easily. The faster you learn to lean on your Savior and to seek biblical counsel, the faster you get back to the place that God wants you to be, where you're not fainting. Proverbs 27:17 says this, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friends. Hebrews 10:24 says this, and let us consider one another, not to provoke unto, love and to good works. You know what I want to tell you? A true friend will be a friend that provokes you into love and good works. Someone who wants to provoke you into hate things, provoke you into to tear down things, someone who wants to provoke you in the wrong direction is not your friend. God, help us to look to those people that are the lean on the saints, lean on our church family. Folks, I know that sometimes we don't quite understand what family is today, and God, help us. I've been watching the NCAA tournament, and I see all these players, every one of them. I thought West Virginia started it, but it was everybody's got it. Now he's got a big family on the side. Do you understand that family is probably the strongest bond that we are to have? And everyone in here that knows Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, we are part of the family of God. Amen. With great boldness, I can say, you are my brothers and you are my sisters. Great boldness, I can say that we have a loving Heavenly Father that's going to take care of us. Oh, with great boldness, I can say we're a family. And within the family, there should be safety. There should be security. Oh, there should be love unconditional. Hey, you know what? It hurts when someone in your family is struggling. It should bring us to a place of tears, a place we get on our knees. God, read it. What God intended for the church to be. Every home needs a church family. Every home needs a church family. And then, not only do we lean on the Savior, lean on the saints, but lean on the Word. Cast yourself on it. Lean on it. Take it. Don't just read it. Lean on the Word. Psalms 119:111 says this, thy word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Pretty bold. Pretty strong. Lean on it. Psalms 6:1-2 says, from the ends of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And then lastly, folks, and I think this is somewhere maybe we're lacking today, not only lean on the Savior, not only lean on the saints, and lean on the Word, but lastly, lean on the altar. The altar's looked at something that's not important anymore. Very few people visit the altar anymore. It's just a bunch of a show or whatever. But I'm going to tell you, the altar is a place of brokenness and humbleness before a holy and a righteous God. And say, God, I need your help. Lord, I need to be strong. God, here I am. I want to tell you, when God was doing the work in my life, I was saved, but I wasn't living for Him. But He began to stir my heart. He began to work in my life. And I want to tell you, there was times that I was even sitting in a pew. I'd hear the preacher and I'd say, you know what, I really want that, but I don't know how to get there. You know what I would do? Time and time again, if I didn't even feel like it, I'd get up and I'd go to that altar after church and say, Lord, here I am. God, take my life. God, use me. I want the power of God on my life. Here you are, Lord. Take me. Change me. Let me be what you want me to be. And I want to tell you, He did. May we never look at this altar or our altar call as something that ain't important anymore. I want to tell you, may we be moved in our heart that we don't care what anybody thinks around about us, but we're going to go and do business with God. We need to lean on the altar. Maybe some of us need some things that we need to take and we need to leave on that altar and leave it there. Something we have in our life that isn't honoring God. Whether it be a computer screen, whether it be a cell phone, whether it be an addiction of some other type, whether it be this or that, whether it be something you know you shouldn't have it in your life. Take it to the altar and leave it there. Say, God, with your help, I'm not going to let this destroy me. I'm going to let it keep having root. Hey, nobody likes to live life faint. And God sure doesn't want you to live that way. Maybe we ought to just get busy and do some exercises. Maybe we might just begin at this altar this morning. Every head bowed.